This message by Pastor Alexander Ruggieri was delivered at Faith Fellowship Church in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. For more information, please call 608-935-2655 or visit us at www.dodgevillefc.com.
Verses 5 through 21. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" Others, mocking, said, "They are full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maidservants I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And God add a blessing to the reading of his word. In times like these, our hope needs to be in the Lord and no one else. We need to look to him and trust in him to give us strength day by day. Amen. And as we continue our series in Acts, we are reminded that it is the Lord we can hope in, because he is the living God. He is the living God. Jesus Christ is alive. Amen? He is alive today. He rose from the grave 2,000 years ago, and we're here to worship him, serve him, and put our hope in him afresh. So we pick up this study in Acts chapter 2. Now, just a brief reminder before we jump in. We've been looking at the significance of the event of Pentecost and what that means for the Church of Jesus Christ today. We looked at how the Old Testament hinted at Pentecost being a new era. It was the time of harvest. Remember the Feast of Harvest, the Feast of Weeks fulfilled in Pentecost. It was also the reversal of Babel, fulfilled, reversed, redeemed at Pentecost. And also it's a type of the giving of the Torah, the giving of the law at Mount Sinai. When that happened, it was 50 days after the Passover. Pentecost is 50 days after the Passover. And at Mount Sinai, the law was given to the Israelites. And at Pentecost, the law is written on our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Then we look at the manifestations of Pentecost, those different elements that God used to relay his coming into this new group of people we call the body of Christ. So if you remember, there was wind involved. there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And what does wind represent in the Bible? Wind represents life. Jesus said, the wind blows where it wishes. You do not hear the sound of it, know where it comes from or where it is going. So is everyone born of the Spirit. Remember, God did not speak to the dust and Adam was born. God breathed into the nostrils of Adam and he became a living being. And so wind means life. When Pentecost came, if you trust in Jesus, you're given life. You're given breath of God. Then we looked at the element of fire and how when God visited the people at Pentecost, he descended as a flame and divided upon the people as flames. And that's a reminder of God's holiness and his zeal and his love, because he is a burning, consuming fire. He burned in the fire of Mount Sinai, and he burned as a pillar of fire by night. He burned in the burning bush and said, "This is holy ground," to Moses. And when you trust in Jesus as your Savior, you are given the fire of God in your hearts, the zeal of God in your hearts, the holy, burning, passionate love of God for righteousness, for everything he loves in your hearts. And finally, the last manifestation of Pentecost was that of speech. God came upon his people and they spoke the wonderful works of God, it says here in verse 11. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. Now, he did speak supernaturally through giving Galileans the ability to speak in languages they did not know. But the point was that God is going to change the way you speak, because he changes the way you think and he changes the way you have desires in your heart. And so when you become a Christian, now you speak as of God. The Bible says that whenever we speak, we should speak as of the oracles of God. And so how our lips speak represent God who dwells in us. And now we pick it up here looking at the message of Pentecost. And we did start that last week and we expanded on the first point, but this time we're going to look at it more in depth. So if you were here last week, you got a little bit of it, but you'll be reminded and you'll dig in some more. So let's ask the Lord's blessing here this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Holy Spirit that you gave your people 2,000 years ago and is available for anyone who calls on the name of the Lord. I pray you would help us to understand what it means to be living in the era of post-Pentecost, the era of your Spirit. I pray that your Spirit would come, enable us to do your work, your will, for your glory. In Jesus' name, all God's people together say, amen. How many of you have ever gotten a message from someone and you didn't listen to it right away, or you didn't catch it for whatever reason, and as a result, something happened? It's happened to me. It happened recently where I was in the middle of something and somebody called me and I didn't answer. And then the phone rang a second time and I was home. I was coming back here to the office and I didn't answer. And I saw that there was a voicemail left and I didn't listen to the voicemail. And as I was scrambling to finish up what I was doing, all of a sudden, a vehicle started pulling up into our driveway. And I went, oh, that's probably what the person was calling about, that they're about to be here in minutes. And if I had listened to the message, I could have adequately prepared, as my life was in a spot of chaos at that moment. And so have you ever had that time where you wish that you had gotten the message beforehand? Well, I want to tell you today, March 22nd, 2026, God has a message for you. God has a message for the Church of Jesus Christ in Faith Fellowship Church today. It was a message that was given 2,000 years ago. But it is a message that we want to know today. It is a message that Peter gave after he received the Holy Spirit. And God meant that message to be for the Jews who were there at that time. But as God intends always with his word, there's an immediate recipient of the message in the Bible. And then there's a general recipient of the message for all ages, and that is the Church of Jesus Christ today. So let's open up our Bibles to Acts chapter 2 and hear the message that God has for us. Peter, after being filled with the Spirit, after everyone being amazed that they heard the wonderful works of God in their own language, some of them mocking, thinking they're drunk, Peter, verse 14, he stands up with the 11 and he raises his voice to them and he says, "Men of Judea," this is chapter 2 of Acts, verse 14, "who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day." He's kind of mocking their mockery in a sense. Verse 16, "But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel." Then Peter goes to quote an Old Testament prophet. But before we look at that Old Testament prophet, I want to harp on one point. And I mentioned this last week, and I'll harp on it again. When Peter says the word "this" in verse 16, I want you to recognize what Peter is referencing. Imagine you're sitting there in the crowd. You're there. You're hearing what's going on. You just witnessed a shaking of wind. You just heard a great sound of wind. You just witnessed a ball of fire, we assume, descending in the place you're standing and dividing and resting upon the heads of about 120 of your brethren. And these flames are flapping like tongues. And then you see the ability of these nobodies enabled suddenly to speak in a language that is not their native language and is not a language that they know. Suddenly they're able to speak. And they speak the wonderful works of God. And you're seeing this and you're witnessing this and it's going on. And then one of them stands up. You might not know who he is at all. But he stands up and he looks to you and he says, "I want you to know something, that this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel." So when Peter says this, he's referring to that. It's very simple. So he's referring to what was just occurring. So now with that in mind, let's look at this message in verse 17. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. "And it shall come to pass, in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." So what Peter is saying is that what the prophet Joel prophesied that was going to happen began at Pentecost. What was that message? The first part of that message was this, that God wants you to know, be ready for the end. Be ready for the end. What Peter said, what Joel prophesied, and what God wants you and I to know today, be ready for the end. For Peter said, quoting Joel, "It shall come to pass in the last days. So when Peter looked at the people, and he turned to the crowd that was speaking in tongues and all that was going on, and he said, "This is a prophecy. It shall come to pass in the last days." What he's saying is, the last days began at Pentecost. The last days of the era of humanity began at Pentecost. And we have been living in the last days since then. That means that at Pentecost, an era of humanity changed. It went from the era of waiting for Jesus, waiting for the redemption, waiting for the work of Christ on the cross, to Jesus coming, dying, being buried, being raised from the dead, risen to the right hand of the Father, sending the Holy Spirit, new era, the last days. And that means that from the day of Pentecost unto now, Jesus' return is imminent. Jesus' return could be at any moment. He could have returned 1,000 years ago. He could have returned 1,500 years ago. He could have returned yesterday. He could return tomorrow. He could return today. He could return 100 years from now. Jesus is coming to this earth to reign as Lord and King. And that is, that era of time is called the last days. Now, I will admit that our recent era is very unique. I mentioned this last week. We have a very unique point of time in the last days because of certain geopolitical things going on. We've got to reestablish Israel. I believe that has end time significance. We have a threat of the wiping out of humanity through nuclear bombing. That's never happened before. So we've got these elements that are unique today that weren't true 1,000 years ago. But the Bible teaches that the last days are the time of period when Jesus could come. And I don't understand all end time stuff. I know that there are certain elements that have to be set up for an antichrist that is sitting in a temple in the third temple. I understand all that. But I heard this recently. I like it and I'll repeat it, but I'll quote it. It's from Frank Turek. He's an apologist. He said, "Listen, we're not supposed to be in the planning committee. We're supposed to be on the welcoming committee." And if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you're not planning his return. You're welcoming his return. You need to be ready for the return of Jesus Christ. It can happen any moment. And that's what God wants us to know. You say, "Pastor, it's been 2,000 years since the last days began. That doesn't make sense. That's a long time." Well, the Bible teaches that with a day with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years are like a day. And so technically on God's side of things, we've been 2 days into the last days. You see, his framework for end times is different than ours. People were mocking Peter in his own day when he said that he's in the last days, and people were mocking him saying that scoffers will come in the last days walking according to their own lust. This is 2 Peter chapter 3, and saying, "Where is the promise of his coming?" And so he said in his own day, and there have been mockers since then, and there are mockers today, "When is Jesus coming?" And Peter goes on to say, "Beloved, do not forget this one thing with the Lord. One day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night." A thief in the night, the day of the Lord will come. The day will come when Jesus will come. We'll go to be with him in the rapture, and it'll be a thief. No one will see it coming. And we have to trust God with the timetable. And what we just read means the only reason why it hasn't happened 1,000 years ago or 1,500 years ago is because God is patient. God is patient, and he wants more people to come to know him as Lord and Savior. And if you're here today and you're not born again, God is patient, But a day will come when his patience will run out. The time will come that only he knows, not even the Son knows, when Jesus will be given the command to come and take his church to be with him when that day comes. And all the end times wrath that we read about in Revelation begins. So the message you don't want to miss and I don't want to miss is this: be ready for the end. The second message that is given to us in this passage of Joel, not only must we be ready for the end, but look at this in verse 17. It shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And verse 18, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Or if you go to read verse 33, Jesus sat at the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit whom he poured out this day. Or if you go down to verse 38, Peter says, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. When Pentecost came, we entered a new era. And now, when you trust in Jesus Christ, God comes to live in you. You receive God himself inside of you, to live inside of you. We receive the very presence of God and the very power of God to be inside of us and to be inside of the church. And so the message that God gave through Joel, quoted by Peter, for them and for you, is now receive the presence of God. Be filled with the Spirit. When you trust in Jesus Christ for salvation, you are baptized in the Holy Spirit. That means that you are immersed. We baptize by immersion. You are immersed in God's Spirit. His Spirit comes and fills you, immerses you, 100% of you. You are filled with God. Now you can live for God and fight temptation and fight sin. Now you can speak for God and not be afraid of what mankind shall do for you. Jesus said that someday will come when you're going to stand before leaders and give an account and share the gospel. Don't rely on your own words. Rely on the words of the Spirit. You now have a special gift from God for the church, to build up the church, to equip the church, that you have that someone else does not, perhaps. This all came at Pentecost and came to you when you believed. Now, the manifestation of the pouring of the Spirit of God came to the fullness the day of salvation, but you also are commanded to continually be filled with the Spirit. Paul writes in Ephesians, do not get drunk on wine, which leads with dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. He's talking to Christians there. Ask God to fill you afresh. Ask God to fill you anew so that you have new power to live for him. You could think of it like a balloon. A balloon is full 100%, but it can be filled more. And you can be filled more with God inside your life as you trust him, obey him, believe him, and walk with him. Sometimes God gives a supernatural confirmation of his presence in his people. We believe that there are signs and wonders that accompany people during certain periods of time. It happened at the apostles' time, and it has happened since then because nothing has changed since then. We are still in the era of the Pentecost. We are still in the era of the Spirit. The only difference is God chooses when and how much he fills his people. And so I believe in signs and wonders. I believe that God works miracles through people. I believe that God even gives words to people that they wouldn't have otherwise known. I believe that God, we read here about young men seeing visions, old men dreaming dreams. I believe that God sometimes will give somebody a vision of some need, some calling. God will give someone a dream of some truth that he wants them to know. That never contradicts the scripture. That is not instead of the scripture. But it is God's choice when he does it. And I know there are confirmed testimony, person after person. Think of what's going on in Iran right now. Person after person after person. I know a brother in Christ who's in a foreign country that's very close to the gospel. He's ministering to churches. He tells of people who are Islamic. They're Muslims. And in the middle of the night, they receive a dream of this man who reveals himself to them and says, you need to seek me. You need to know me. And they wake up and they're so overwhelmed by this. They must find out who this man is. And they go searching out and God leads them to a believer who tells them that was Jesus Christ revealing himself to you. You see, God is not limited by Islamic radicalism. God is able to reveal himself, amen? And we hear of these things like signs and wonders, and we see the extreme abuses of that in certain denominations, where people lose control of themselves, and it becomes a frenzy, and it's very much not according to the scripture, and very much of the flesh. But that doesn't mean just because we have an extreme and a counterfeit that we don't have the true thing. And some Christians go to the opposite extreme and say, well, if that's the case, none of it is true for today. And there are no signs and wonders for today. And there is no speaking in tongues for today. Well, I'd like to share something with you.
I'm part of a prayer group that meets on Zoom once a week, Tuesday mornings, 5:30. We gather together about 7 or so. And some of them are pastors, not in this immediate area, but other parts of the state. And this one pastor was sharing something with us, and he is the pastor of a church that you would consider a Bible church, Bible-believing, you know, like Baptist without the baggage type thing, you know, really preaching the Word of God faithfully, really centered on the sufficiency of Scripture, your standard old school Bible church, singing hymns, fundamentalist, dispensationalist even, and you've got this pastor who's in this group. And he's sharing how something happened to him recently that he can't explain. And he shared how he went with his family there in his church. It's a growing church, and so they have to add on to this church. And so they made a difficult decision, but they felt like God was leading them to not take out a loan, but to trust God to provide. And so he went down to Florida to visit with friends. And in Florida, the friend that they visited just bought a home, and they wanted to dedicate the home to the Lord. And so the friend invited them to a prayer meeting they were going to have in their home to dedicate this home to God. Now check this out. The friend and the pastor and the church, that the group of Christians that got together, were all Spanish speaking. The pastor did not know a word of English. And they got there and they started singing. There was one man who was playing a little keyboard, and they were all singing tunes that this pastor that I know was familiar with. And so he was singing in English. They were singing in Spanish. And there was someone there who would be a translator, an interpreter. And when the pastor was speaking in Spanish, that the interpreter would tell what it is in English. And he was hearing a message about David and Goliath. So it was difficult with this bilingual stuff, but they made it work. But then the time came for the prayer and the dedication. And they gather around a little circle. He's sharing this, and I have no reason to believe he is lying. I have no reason. They gathered in a circle. The pastor, who does not know a word of English, they all got in a circle, started praying over this house. And started praying for this pastor that I know from around here, and was praying for him and his family and his church. And he was praying in Spanish. And what he said to me was that as he was listening to this pastor pray in Spanish, he was praying and praying in Spanish and praying in Spanish, and suddenly he started praying in fluent English. Fluent. And he prayed, "God, I see people walking across the parking lot to their church. And they are going to trust you to provide." And started praying for their church addition project. And he said, "This guy does not know English at all. Not only that, he doesn't know who they are. The pastor met him 10 minutes before the service, didn't even know they had a church project going on. And no idea that there was an addition project going on at their church. But he believes that God came, gave him a word of knowledge, and either gave him the ability to understand Spanish or that man the ability to speak English. So that praise could be given to God, so that this pastor could be encouraged to step forward in faith. And God worked a miracle. And so we need to believe that God is alive, that he has come to this earth. He gives us evidence of that, but most importantly, beyond the miraculous examples and exceptions, we receive that very power and presence in our own life. Do you have the Holy Spirit inside of you today? God is alive. Is he alive in your life? Finally, not only is the message, be ready for the end, be filled with the Spirit, but here, be right with your God. Verse 21, he finishes up that prophecy and says, "It shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." We are in an era since Pentecost where people are offered an opportunity to get right with God, to be right with him. And that era is an era of his grace and mercy, in which God, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's today, and that's for you. And that's for your neighbor, and that's for your coworker. And this is the time he's put a timeline in place. He's put a spirit inside of your soul. Now he has a mission for you to share that gospel to those who need it. He says, "Look to me and be saved, all the earth. Whoever calls in the name of the Lord shall be saved." And he looked at the people, and Peter goes on to say, "This Jesus that you heard about, God raised him from the dead." In fact, he looked at them and he said, "This Jesus you crucified, did you know that the Jews crucified Jesus? Did you know that the Romans crucified Jesus? Did you know that Isaiah said he was bruised for our iniquities? Every single human being crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. It was our sin that brought him to earth onto a cross, and he bore the wrath that we deserve. And if anyone rejects that, they will suffer the punishment of rejecting the only means of salvation. And so today is the day where you can be ready for God. I received a phone call recently. I think it was last week. Somebody that I had met years ago on one day, in one instance, heard I was a pastor years ago. Got a hold of someone in the church to get my number. Said her brother was in the hospital, wasn't looking good. Could I go and pray over him? I said, sure. I go into the hospital, I ask for his name, I walk in the room, he's there, his significant other is to the side. He's not looking good. I said, "Your sister called me, asked me to pray over you. Would you be comfortable if I did that?" He said, "Yes." And I looked at the situation and I realized that I needed to ask the question. I said, before I pray over you, sir, can I ask you a question? What's your relationship with the Lord like? He looked at me, said, well, when I was a kid, I had some bad experiences with Jehovah's Witnesses, and I thought I'd never walk into church again. And I realized, I think this man needs the Lord. And so I explained to him, I said, sir, I said, before you should have physical healing, before I should pray and ask God to show mercy to you, you need spiritual healing. I told him, I said, you need to get right with God. You need to have a restored relationship with Him. You need healing inside, more importantly than anything, so that you know when you die, if you die, that you will be in heaven forever with Him. This is so much more important. I will be glad to pray over you for your healing, but would you be comfortable if I share with you the gospel and ask for if you would be interested in receiving the Lord? And he, in his desperation, God knows his heart. I shared with him Bible truth, gospel message, asked if he wanted to receive Christ as his Savior. He said, yes. I prayed over him. He received the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I prayed for his healing. And God was stirring in his heart. I could tell there was something going on. I had to pray against the evil presence that was coming in the room at the moment of praying. And the significant other admitted that it was going on. God knows his heart. What happened? I left that room. I said to her, keep in touch with me. Let me know. I haven't heard back. But if this man was sincere, he got right with God. Through the only means, through Jesus Christ. Today, do you know that you are right with God? Peter gave a message 2,000 years ago. He said, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you saved? Do you know Christ as your Savior? You today can call upon his name now. We all deserve sin, a judgment and wrath because of our sin, but he offers forgiveness and cleansing and eternal life, and he offers his own spirit to come inside of you. He offers his own power to rest upon you. He offers you a new hope, a new purpose, a new future. But you must call upon him and receive him as your Lord and Savior. And bow the knee to Jesus, who is Lord of all. You must receive him. You must come to Jesus to be saved before the last days bring the last day, which might be a different day for you than it is for the rest of the world, because you don't know if you're going to get sick and land in the hospital tomorrow. So I'm going to pray and ask that we all come before the Lord and welcome him either for the first time into our lives or afresh with the filling of the Spirit into our lives. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for this time, this season. Thank you for this moment where we can open your word and hear of your wonderful work. If anyone is in this room and has not said yes to you, has not bowed the knee to you, I'm not talking about going through some religious process or anything, just absolutely receiving you by faith, not by works, bowing the knee, submitting to your work on the cross, dying for our sins. I pray if anyone here has not received you, they would say yes today. They would say, Lord God, I am a sinner. I need you in my life. I need you to cleanse me, forgive me. I need you to take away my sin. I turn away from it. I repent of it. I say no to that life, and I say yes to your new life. Please forgive me. Will you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior as he descends upon you by the power of his Spirit? For all of us that know you, please, God, fill us. Fill this church. Fill us for the enablement of ministry. Fill us for the enablement of our victory over our own temptations. Fill us with the ability to showcase Jesus to this community. Fill us with the love of God so that we can serve others in love, I pray that this church would be set afire for your kingdom. Bless this church. Fill us, dear God, and thank you for the message you gave to the church today. In Jesus' name, we all together say, Amen.